Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good
morning, boys and girls. Good morning, and welcome to the service, the family service this morning. I don't think there's any visitors with us this morning that I've spotted so far, but it's good to see some of the students, those who've been away for a while, back with us, and you're particularly welcome. Tea and coffee at the end of the service, as usual. Evening service will be at 6, and will be conducted by myself, God willing. And there's the community carol service here in the community centre at 8 p.m. this evening. In the course of the week, various things as usual. Ladies' Bible study. I've got a note, it is on. I'm looking for a nod. It is on. And there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening as usual until the cruises at 7:30. First Fruit Fellowship is not on anymore for the next few weeks. Road to Recovery meeting. Am I? That's on Tuesday at 8 p.m. And the Watch Night service, the Christmas Eve service, will be the late service, and that's on Christmas Eve the 24th at 11:30, that's Thursday. Services next Sunday will be at 11 and 6 in the morning. Duncan McPherson will take the service. And at 6 p.m. it's the Gaelic service, and that will be led by Donald John Morrison. I'm away in US next weekend. All the ministers in the presbytery had to agree to take one service over in US, so that's the service that I've agreed to take. That's next Lord's Day, and Duncan and Donald John will be covering. And there's a New Year's Day service in the community centre at 12 noon, as has been tradition over the years. So these, I think, and all the intimations, and we're going to begin now by singing to God's praise. It's good to have a new organist this morning with us, and we sing from Mission Phase 491, and it's verses 1-3, and these verses will be on the screen. O come, all ye faithful. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for these words that we've been singing. We thank you that we are called to come, and to come in worship, to remember, to rejoice, to give thanks for the most wonderful gift ever given to the world. We thank you, Father, for such great love that you would give to us your Son, who would come to this world, leaving heaven, humbling himself, and come in order that he would live sinlessly and then die on a cross for us, so that we might be forgiven, so that it might be possible for us, sinners as we are, to lose our sin and to enter into friendship with, relationship with, the living God. And Father, we pray that would be our experience and our testimony this morning. We pray that we would come with joy, that we would come with expectation in our hearts, knowing that you will receive us and that you will bless us and that you will speak to us. We thank you that we have your word, and your word will be read. We pray that you would unblock our ears, that we would hear your voice, that you would be speaking to us. We pray that you would stir our hearts. We pray that you would clear our minds of all that would distract us and enable us this day to see Jesus and to see him afresh. And Lord, if we have never yet trusted him, we pray that whether we are very young today or whether we are older, that we would put our faith in Christ as our Saviour and as our Lord. So lead us in worship this morning, we ask. We thank you that we're here and that we're safe and that we're warm and that we're dry. We think of many people in the world who aren't. Many of your followers, Lord Jesus, who meet in places that are dangerous, not knowing whether they'll get to the end of the service without disturbance. We pray for them, Lord, and we ask that you would be with them and that you would bless them. Lord, we thank you that we are here and we have that sense of safety and freedom to be able to worship. So meet with us, we pray. We pray for those who are not here this morning, people who are sick, some people who are sad, some people who struggle at this time of year, and we ask that you would be especially close to them, and Lord, that you would help them, and that you would meet them in their need, and that you would give to them that grace of Jesus that is sufficient, that it's enough for all of us. We pray now, Lord, that you would go before us, and that you would bless us, and that you would lead us. And all we pray is in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, boys and girls, I'm going to do less speaking today, and you're going to do more speaking. You're going to tell us the Christmas story. You're going to be reading some of the sections of the Bible. And you're going to be answering my questions as well, aren't you? That was a bad start. You're going to be answering my questions as well, aren't you? Yes, you are. Tell me, who's excited about Christmas?
Me!
All excited about Christmas? How many sleeps now is it till Christmas?
Five.
There's no doubt over that one. Round of applause there at the end, yeah? Yes, Alistair, you got something to tell us. Six. Off to the maths class. Is it? I don't know. I'm not even... John, tell us. What's in your mind? Ten. We're not in an auction here. We've got a few sleeps till Christmas and we're excited. Why are you excited, John Roddy? What do you like about Christmas, boys and girls? Tell me just a few things you like about Christmas. Bethany. We remember God being born. That's right. Grace?
Getting presents.
Sanctified the sinful. Caitlin? Opening presents. Presents are not bad. We just have to remember Jesus, first of all. Yeah? Opening presents. What else do we like about Christmas? Do you think they like anything about Christmas? They're shaking their heads. What do you like about Christmas? You like that too? Okay. That will do for just now. Christmas is very exciting. And there's lots of things that we remember. And there's lots of things that we love about Christmas. I love eating turkey. And stuffing. And sausages. And the bacon. And onion rings. And nice gravy. And the chocolate Yule log at the end of it. I love Christmas dinner. And there's presents, and there's tinsel, and there's trees, and there's parties, and there's lots of things that we love about Christmas. There's lots of things that are special that we think about at Christmas. But the real meaning of Christmas is... What Bethany said. Oh, sorry.
John, what's the real meaning of Christmas? Jesus being born. And we're going to hear now about Jesus being born. We're going to read from Luke chapter 2, from verses 1 to verse 7. And it's going to be Renai who's going to read this section for us.
In those days... Oh, it's not on.
It's not on there.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you for now. Amen. And may God bless that reading of His Word to us.
We're going to think a wee bit about that one now as we listen to you sing. And you're going to sing two songs for us, two hymns for us. Born in the Night is one of them. And Little Donkey is another of the carols that we're going to hear. So, boys and girls, if you could come out the front and get yourselves organised. Are you going to sing live for us? Yes? Which verse is it and he's going to do a solo with? So when you're ready, you will start to sing. Which one has been sung first, Kirsty? Little Donkey is the first carol that's going to be sung. And then you'll go straight on to the second one. Is that right? Okay. I'll go and sit down. The view's going to be better from over there.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, boys and girls, for singing and for helping us to remember and think about the Christmas story, the coming of Jesus into the world. We're going to sing another carol now, and we sing from the hymnary number 195. And I think as we sing, the wee ones, the very wee ones, are going to go out, but the older ones will be staying in. So it's that very well known carol. That was a new one, that last one to me. This is a very well known carol, a number 195 in the hymnary, and the words are on the screen, and we'll stand to sing. Away in a manger, no crib or a bed. Okay, we've got them now. Boys and girls, put your hand up just now if you feel a little bit frightened about being here. Probably only me. I feel frightened every Sunday when I stand up here. But probably none of you, boys and girls, and the more mature boys and girls, feel very frightened. We're here today, aren't we? It's pouring rain outside. And yet we're nice and dry, we've got a roof, we've got these walls, we've got light, it's dry, it's warm, safe to be here, isn't it? You know, in some parts of the world, we were praying just a moment ago, in some parts of the world today, it's really not safe to meet and to worship Jesus. And people will try and stop Christians meeting. It would be against the law to meet like we're meeting today. And yet Christians still do it. And when they meet, they're scared. Because they're wondering, is somebody going to knock at the door? Is there going to be trouble? Anyway, I want to start today with a story. And it's a story about a sweet maker. Does everybody know what sweets are? Everyone know what sweets are? Yep. Good. This is a story about a sweet maker. And he lived in the 18th century, which is quite a long time ago, and he lived in a place where it was against the law to be a Christian. And it was against the law to meet as Christians. It was really dangerous to be a Christian in this place. No one could talk about Jesus freely like we talk about Jesus. No one could sing about Jesus and how great he is. But see, this sweet maker, he trusted Jesus. He was a Christian. And he wanted people to know about Jesus. If you want to know if you're a Christian, by the way, it's for the young and for the old. If you want to know if you're a Christian and if you're really saved, one of the ways that we know that we're really saved is that we're desperate to tell other people about the good news that we have. And this sweet maker, he worshipped Jesus in his heart, but he wanted other people to know. He wanted people to know about Jesus, but he knew it was against the law and it was dangerous and he was going to have to be wise. And so he prayed and he asked that God would give him wisdom. And then he got an idea. He came up with a plan, so the story goes. He was going to make a sweetie, because he was a sweetie maker. And he was going to think about a sweet that could be given out, especially at Christmas time, and it could go on Christmas trees, and it could be given to the boys and girls as a present. The boys and girls of his town. And you know what the sweetie was? A what? Say it louder. It was a candy cane. And so this sweetie maker, so the story goes, he designed and he made this candy cane. And this candy cane helps us to remember and to get to know the story of Christmas. And today, we're going to think about three questions. The first one will be the longest, so don't get too worried about it. The first question about Christmas, as we have this candy cane, is what happened at Christmas? What actually happened that we need to remember at Christmas? And this thing helps us to remember different parts of the Christmas story. If I hold the candy cane like this, what does it look like? Give you a clue. Let's have the first picture on the screen. Let's take a few guesses while we're waiting for the picture. Oh, does that look like anything that you can see on the screen? Bethany? It looks like a shepherd's stick, a shepherd's staff. And so the candy cane helps us to remember shepherds had something to do with Christmas, didn't they? Do you remember anything about the shepherds? Well, we need to find out. Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 20. And Anna, I think, is going to come out and read these verses for us. So let's listen to what shepherds have to do with the Christmas story. Come here, Anna. And I see Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to verse 20.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of the great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men of whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread their word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Anne. You sit down, Anne. So the candy cane when we look at the candy cane and it's held up like that, we think about the shepherds, don't we? We remember the shepherds. We remember how the shepherds were out one night and all of a sudden the last thing they expected happened. And they were given this amazing good news of great joy about the Saviour who was going to come to the world to show us the love of God. So when we see the candy cane, we think about the shepherds. Should also remind us of somebody who said, "I am the good shepherd." Who was that? Who said, "I am the good shepherd"? Come on, boys and girls, give me a bit of volume here. John Roddy.
Jesus.
Well done. So we remember the shepherds. The second thing that we remember when we look at, actually not so much when we look at, but if we smell the candy cane. Who wants to come out and be a volunteer? John Roddy? Okay, you've got, can you do the smell test? That's a beautiful bow tie, by the way. Absolutely, it's a bit squint though. And just straighten it. That's it. Perfect. Let's do the smell test of the candy cane. Can you smell it? What does it smell like?
Mint.
Smells like?
Mint.
It smells like mint, doesn't it? It smells, in our house, okay, you can go and sit down now, thank you. In our house, whenever a mint sweet gets a taste of, people say, "Oh, it smells spicy." And mint, it smells quite spicy, doesn't it? And that should remind us, not of the shepherds, but of the wise men. Remember the wise men in the Christmas story? There was wise men that we remember. I think we might have a picture of a wise man on the screen. That looks like three wise men. But oh, that's another wise man. Last Saturday we had a Christmas fun day at the church. And one of the wise men of the Christmas story was telling the Christmas story from his perspective. So if you ever wondered what the wise men looked like back in the day, now you know that they wear Nike Air Max and diesel jeans underneath their authentic clothes. So I think Adiba and Rachel's face says it all. So that's a wise man. Let's go on after that one. Not that easy to see him. That's better. But we think about the wise men, don't we? Go back to the two before, please. The more authentic wise men. So we think about the wise men when we think about the Christmas story. And we're going to hear something about that now from Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 11. And Ruth is going to come and read these verses for us.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all the Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." The king Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent the time then to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
Thank you very much, Ruthie, for reading that section to us. So when we think about the Christmas story, what do we remember? We remember the shepherds who were out in the field. That's the first thing that we remember. The second thing that we remember is the wise men, or the magi, as they're called in the passage there that was read. And we remember how they came looking for Jesus, following the star, expecting to find the one who was promised. The third thing that we remember when we look at a candy cane is, well, it reminds me of my Shenner, who lived in Scalby. Well, he worked in Scalby for a few years, and whenever my Shenner went out for a walk, he never went out for a walk without his walking stick. And when I look at a candy cane, I often think about that. His walking stick looked a lot like the one that's on the screen. And if you think about this walking stick, that's where he would go. When we were out fishing, he would have this walking stick. Whenever he was going on a long journey, he would have this walking stick. And the cane reminds us of a long journey. A long journey that Mary and Joseph had to go on from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And that was the first passage that was read for us by Renai. We're told about this long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Do you know how many miles it was? Any guesses? Have a guess. Caitlin, how many miles do you think? 10. Bethany, give me a number. 10 miles? Not 10 miles, go up higher. Bella, what do you think? 20 miles? Good guess, up higher. Dylan? 800 miles? A wee bit lower than that. Good guess though. John Roddy? No, that's higher than 800. It's more than 20, but it's less than 800. Alistair? No. Okay. Let me tell you how many miles they walked. They walked 70 miles. That's like walking from Tarbert to Scalpy 10 times without stopping. So it was a long journey in very difficult conditions. And when I look at the candy cane, it reminds me of the long journey. It reminds me of the shepherds that were out in the fields. It reminds me of the magi, the wise men, when we get the smell of the spices. And if we turn the candy cane the other way around, what do you see? Well, I can see it that way. Now, what do you see? Do you see a letter there?
No.
What letter is it?
Jai.
Jai. And what does Jai stand for? What do you think we might be? What do you think my next point might be? Who do we remember? Remember the shepherds, we remember the wise men, we remember the long journey, but we remember first and foremost, Alistair?
Jesus.
That's who we remember at Christmas. Well done. Everything, every different part of the story that we've been reading in the Bible, they're all part of the one story. Wise men, shepherds, long journey, Mary and Joseph, everything is pointing us to Jesus. And so the Christmas story, what we remember, what we must always remember first and foremost, is Christmas is about, say it louder, say it louder. Christmas is about boys and girls. Say it one more time. Christmas is about Jesus. Sometimes you get Christmas cards, and on the Christmas cards, it doesn't say Christmas, it says Xmas. And when I see that, Oh, I understand part of the reason for it. I'm not too critical. It makes me think some people want to strike Christ out of Christmas. They'll say, give me the parties, give me Santa Claus, give me the presents, give me the turkeys, give me the sausages. Give me all that good stuff. Jesus? No, I don't want to hear that. It's like they cross Jesus out of Christmas. They forget or they ignore. Christmas is all about Christ. And this wee candy cane that that sweetie maker made in that dangerous place at that dangerous time, it very cleverly helps us to remember. And he would have been able to tell the boys and girls, Christmas is all about Christ. We're going to sing now. We're going to sing from the Gaelic Psalm, Psalm 95. Psalm 95, the words will be on the screen, and we sing the first two stanzas of the psalm. I'll explain why we're going to sing this psalm in just a minute after we've sung it. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Come, let us, everyone, a joyful noise make to the rock. Remember that. A joyful noise make to the rock of our salvation. Let us, before his presence come, with praise and thankful voice, let us sing psalms to him with praise and make a joyful noise. These two stanzas will remain seated to sit, to sing this Gaelic psalm.
Yeah.
Okay, boys and girls. See if you can remember. What do we remember at Christmas? Think about this. First of all, the shepherds. And then we remember the... Who had the spices? The wise men, that's right. And we remember what else? We remember the walking stick, the long journey. And we turn this upside down and we remember Jesus. That's what happened at Christmas. Second thing, this is a much shorter point, is why did this happen? Why did all that happened happen? Now, can I get a volunteer, please? This is not the smell test, this is the taste test. Go on, Bethany. How's your teeth?
Good.
Good? Do you want to bite the cane? Have a bite of it. You take it, it's all right. Tell us what it's like. Is it hard or is it soft? Is it nice and soft and chewy?
No.
What is it like?
Hard.
Is it hard? You're right, it is hard. You'll get one in a minute, thank you. It's hard. It's rock hard. And the candy cane, when we bite into it, it makes us think about rock. Now we sang that song just a minute ago. And in that psalm, in the first couple of words of that psalm, we sang about the rock of our salvation. We're to make a joyful noise, not a tuneful noise, so that means everybody should sing, not just the people who can hold a tune. Anybody that can make a noise, joyful noise, we make to the rock of our salvation. Here's a question. Who's the rock of our salvation? Who's the rock that saves us? I can put it an easier way. Right, come on, let's have a few other people. We've got two very willing lads here, but they've been overworked here. Natalie, who's the rock that saves us? Jesus. And yet that psalm was written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus, but the psalm was like a signpost that pointed us forward to one who was going to come, and he was going to be like a rock who would save us, who would save his people from their sin. And when Jesus came, Mary, when she had Jesus in her womb, she wasn't sitting down with a book like you see mothers doing today, with a book of baby names, scratching her head, saying, I wonder what we'll call the baby. Mary was told by an angel, when he comes, I'll tell you what his name will be. And Mary was given a message as to what the name of the baby would be and what this baby would do. And we get our message in Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 21. I think Natalie's going to read these verses for us.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Thank you, Natalie, for reading that so clearly. So that was the message that Mary was given, or Joseph was given, from the angel. You are to give him, the baby, the name Jesus. because he will save his people from their sins. How would he save us? That's the question. Well, you actually told us that in the song that we sang just a few minutes ago. This little baby would grow up and he would be sinless, and he would live that steady, innocent, sinless life, perfect life, the life that none of us could ever live. And then this little baby would go, when he got older, to a cross to take away our sin. And do you notice the colours of the candy cane? It's hard like a rock. Reminds us that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. What colours do you see on the candy cane? They're very carefully chosen. Let's have somebody who's not answered. Bella, what colours? Well done, Bella. I just asked you what colours, but she gave me the sermon too. Bella said, red for the blood. And that's exactly what I was going to say. The colours of the candy cane were very carefully chosen by the sweet maker. He wanted the colours to mean something, and they did, and they do mean something. The red reminds us, as we look at the candy cane, of Jesus' blood when he went to the cross. And the white speaks to us about Jesus himself, because he was the only one who ever had that perfectly white, pure, sinless heart. And the Bible tells us, if we trust in Jesus, because of what he did in going to that cross and shedding his blood, if we trust in him, he will wash our hearts and make them as white as snow. There's a verse in the Bible that says, even though our sin is red like crimson, it's so stained and it's so dark, it can be white as snow. And so when we look at the red and the white colours on the candy cane, we remember why Jesus came. We remember that he came to be our Saviour. We remember that he came to save us from our sin. He was going to be the rock of our salvation. And somebody's going to come and read Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. Just one verse. Listen to this verse that again was written hundreds of years before Jesus came. And it speaks to us about Jesus.
He was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed.
Thank you, Anish. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions, our sin. He was crushed for our iniquities. All the things that we do that we shouldn't, and the things that we don't do that we should. Upon him was the chastisement, the punishment, that brought us peace. And with his stripes. You notice that? It's not straight across the candy cane, the red and the white. Stripes. With his stripes, we are healed. And so the candy cane not only helps us to remember what happened, it helps us to remember why everything that happened happened. It helps us to remember Jesus is the rock who saves us through his blood. Why did he do it, boys and girls? Did you ever ask that? Why did he do it? Why did God leave the wonder and the beauty and the perfection of heaven and come to a world that was so broken and so messed up, knowing that he was coming not to have an easy life, but knowing that he was coming to go on a cross? Why would he do it? Did he have to do it? He didn't have to do it. He's God. He doesn't have to do anything. So why did he do it? John Roddy.
To save us
for our sins. And why did he want to save us from our sin?
Because he loves us.
Why did he want to take the punishment away that we were due? Why did he want to save us from hell and take us into heaven? Why do you think? Anna? Because he loves us. Remember that, boys and girls, young and old. Jesus loves us. He loves us. We're going to sing now about that. We're going to sing Mission Phrase 71, and the words are on the screen as we think about this child in the manger. 71 in Mission Phrase. Child in the manger, infant of Mary, outcast and stranger, Lord of all, child who inherits all our transgressions, all our demerits on your fall. That's a complicated way of saying all our sin and all our stains and all our dirtiness Jesus took it upon himself so that we could be washed clean. Once the most holy child of salvation. So let's sing these words together. We'll stand to sing this one. Boys and girls, you have listened very well, and I'm just about to finish. But just before I do, I want to think about the last question. And the last question is, what do we need to do? We thought about what happened. Shepherds, wise men, long journey, all pointless to Jesus. We thought about why everything that happened happened, that Jesus came to be the rock who saves us because he loves us. He went to the cross to shed his blood so that we could be made clean. So what do we need to do? Because this all seems like it's very far away and long ago. What do we have to do? Well, again, this wee candy cane helps us to understand. What do we do with these things? Yeah, Grace? We eat them. But before we eat them, we have to give them. You can't eat one until I give it to you. And candy canes are something that we give to people as presents, just like lots of other things at Christmas time. It's good to give presents. And this candy cane, very often, it's a gift. And we give gifts to the people that we love. And if we give gifts to the people that we love, we expect them to take them, don't we? Just imagine now. Just imagine. Okay, Alistair. Imagine you got given this on Christmas morning, and it came from your auntie or your uncle, and they were here with you, and they gave you this present on Christmas, and they say, Alistair, I've been thinking long and hard, and I've decided that the best thing for you is a bow and arrow with Spider-Man in front. So out you come, Alistair. And imagine they said, and this present is just for you. And you were to say, I don't want that. You can take your present and take it home to Timbuktu. I don't want it. How do you think they would feel? Not very happy, would they? Because if you can sit down now, if you love somebody and you give them a present to tell them how much you love them, you expect that they'll receive that present, that they'll take it from you, and they'll say, thank you. A Spider-Man bow and arrow was what I always wanted. I can shoot my dad with this. As he probably often does. You know, Jesus is the best gift ever. Jesus is God's gift to us. God the Father so loved the world, it says in John 3, that he gave his Son so that we could be his friends forever. So what are we to do with the gift that God gave us? Well, we're to receive him. We're to take him into our lives, into our hearts. We're going to sing in just a minute, how silently the wondrous gift is given. Where meek souls will receive him still, Jesus still, the dear Christ enters in. Boys and girls, men and women, the question I want to give to you just now is, have you accepted Jesus into your heart yet? He came because he loves us. He came to save us. He knocks at the door of our hearts because he wants to come in. Question for the very young and for those who are a bit older is, have we opened the door of our hearts and our lives to Jesus? What are we to do? We are to receive him. And the final wee thing is we're to share. You know, on Christmas Day, there'll be gifts given, and things that mums and dads and aunties and uncles will say on Christmas Day quite often is, it's good to share your presents. Don't fight. Share your presents. Candy cane, it's a gift. It is good. It's very tasty. Want to try a bit? Come on in, Alistair. You were first to nod your head. I'll share it with you. There you go. You take it. Share it. Don't eat it all yourself. You know, when we receive Jesus into our lives and our hearts, the psalmist tells us, I should have thought about that before I ate it. The psalmist tells us that we taste and we see that God is good. And when we taste and see that God is good, that should make us want to share him with all the people that we love who are around us. And we share Jesus with other people as we tell them about Jesus. And as we tell them about the real message of Christmas. So boys and girls, in all the fun, in all the games, in all the parties, in all the business, please remember, the real meaning of Christmas is in Jesus. When you see maybe a candy cane on your Christmas tree, remember Jesus. That he came, why he came. And remember, he knocks at the door of our lives and our hearts. And he wants to come in. And when he comes in, he wants us to share him with other people. Will we pray? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for today and we thank you for all that we remember. We thank you that Christmas is something that we look back and we remember. We remember the shepherds and the angels. We remember the wise men. We remember that long journey. We remember the coming of Jesus into the world. That amazing thing that God himself would come into this world and be born. And Lord, we thank you that he came so that we could be saved. We thank you that he went all the way to a cross so that we could be saved. And Lord, today we thank you that he offers to wash our hearts clean with his blood. He offers to come in and to never leave. And we thank you that when we know Jesus, we have everything. And so we pray that you would give us that faith, that we would believe, that we would receive Jesus, and when we go out the door, that we would share, and that we would tell of all that he has done for us, that could be for other people too. So hear our prayers and continue with us in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing our final hymn together, Mission Praise 503, and the words are on the screen again. 503 in Mission Praise. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lying. Look at verse 3. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear might hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We sing the whole hymn to God's praise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.